Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. Honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. Prize Picks, run your game. Let's talk about something that was founded by guys who know a little something about hard work. 5-9 Whiskey. The crew over at Troll Company decided to whip up a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. So, Ole Miss fan, meet 5-9. Two oil-filled guys figured why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? I mean, who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey, right? This stuff is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They went all in. And what about that name? 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., but they're wanting you to forget about that 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat and toll. They work hard, and now they're pouring the same energy into their whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Seriously, help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. So cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's 59whiskey.com. F-I-V-E-N-I-N-E-whiskey.com. And use the promo code CHAMPIONS20. That's CHAMPIONS20 for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up. It's 59 Whiskey, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up! It's up! It's up! It's up! It's up!
Welcome in to Talk of Champions. I am your host, Zach Berry. No, I am not Ben Garrett. Ben is out just being a dad, just crushing it. He is incapacitated right now. He is at multiple soccer tournaments, as no one dads harder than our very own Ben Garrett. But we are here to talk about Ole Miss defeating Oklahoma 26-14, moving to 6-2, 2-2 in the SEC. And look, if you see the title of this video, if you see the title of this podcast, live for another week. The college football playoff hopes are still alive. Ole Miss in survive and advance mode at this point. Let's go ahead and get to the good early, because the bad's going to come. The bad is coming. First of all, the defense. I mean, just second half was completely dominant. You cannot argue with a shutout in the second half. Made some adjustments. I swear, watching this football game, it felt like Oklahoma ran like four plays. It was basically Jackson Arnold running around and then some checkdowns out in the flats. They had a lot of success early. Ole Miss made some mistakes, gave a couple short fields. Oklahoma took advantage, led at the half, but kudos to Pete Golding and the defensive staff, Randall Joyner. The front seven was just absolutely unconscious. 9 sacks on the day, 15 tackles for loss. I mean, just the rally to the football was fun to watch. There were multiple times when Oklahoma would dump it off in the flats or throw a swing pass, and it looked like there was plenty of green grass. People were closing in. T.J. Daughtry had 10 tackles. Santarian Perkins had 11. Santarian Perkins also had 3 sacks and 5 tackles for loss. And then, oh, by the way, shocker, Poupal led the way with 12 tackles, 7 of those solo, 2 tackles for loss. But just a collective effort from the front seven. J.J. Pegues had 3 tackles for loss and 2 sacks. Princely Umamielen, back in the lineup, looked like his old self, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. And then Akilo Stone had a big one late. Jared Ivey had a sack. And Xavier Harris had a big one early in the game. But just a dominant effort by the defense. Like I said, shutout in the second half. Really, really good. I thought, you know, all jokes aside, Joe John Finley and Oklahoma had a plan early to simplify things for Jackson Arnold, use his legs. It was working. Second half, just slammed the door in Oklahoma's face. I mean, just the hand was trying to keep the door from closing. It just slammed it and just broke it in the door frame. Oklahoma only had 182 yards passing, 147 on the ground, averaged 2.9 per rush. So just a really dominant effort by the defense. And then, look, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. I talk to a lot of people that watch a lot of football, non-Ole Miss people, and everybody kind of says the same thing. They're like, what's up with Jackson Dart? Hasn't looked the same since Wake Forest. I don't know. I'm not in those rooms, but just talking to people that watch a ton of film, talk a lot of football, and again, non-Ole Miss people, so there is no tunnel vision. There are no red and blue glasses, but yeah, everybody's been just been kind of wanting to see Dart be Jackson Dart. I mean, the first four games, obviously not as good competition, but was very efficient, looked to be very assertive, looked comfortable in the offense. Now, I know the competition picked up with Kentucky and South Carolina and LSU, but just did not look the same. Second half, Jackson Dart in this one was outstanding. He finished the game 22 for 30 for 311 yards and a touchdown. Had a couple big time throws, a couple big third down conversions. And what do you know? What do you know? Maybe Lane Kiffin listens to Talk of Champions and listens to the flagship. The tight ends. Who knew? Ole Miss had tight ends. Caden Prescorn led the way for Ole Miss. 5 receptions, 71 yards, and the touchdown. Daquan Wright was big. 3 catches, 54 yards. He averaged 18 a pop. Big in the intermediate stuff, big over the middle. I saw that our guy, Clark Brooks, SEC Stat Cat on Twitter, was talking a lot about 12 personnel for Ole Miss. Came out early, just utilizing some big bodies, putting Daquan Wright and Caden Prescorn on the field at the same time, and then using some Y cross patterns. Like if you watch the Ole Miss Spirit Twitch stream, you saw me doing that as well. I mean, just running those tight ends across, you know, getting some space and letting those dudes do their thing. And look, I thought that the first drive, especially utilizing the tight ends, I think the first two passes of the game were to Prescorn and Daquan Wright. But yeah, I mean, I thought that spreading the ball around, Dart had 22 completions and it went to 7 different players. Still though, we're going to get to the negative here in a little bit. The run game struggled. I thought Henry Parrish ran the football well in the first drive. Other than that, it was tough. It's tough sledding. Ole Miss averaged just 2.2 yards per carry. That ain't going to play. Lane Kiffin is going to be in someone's ass after this one because you know he hates that. He loves to dictate pace with the run game. It was not pretty. And look, the positive out of this, again, like I said in the opening of the show, you live to play another week. College football playoff hopes are still alive. They talked a lot about it on the broadcast. Coming into this one, it was in the 20s, the percent to make the college football playoff. It went up a little bit. Obviously, if you went out, I think it goes up to just above 70%. So, obviously, that's the goal. Went out. I think 10-2 Ole Miss is in. Don't worry about resume. Don't worry about strength of schedule. Don't worry about wins. You only beat Oklahoma by 12. No one cares. You win. But that's the important thing. But if we want to go ahead and jump over to the negative, but before we do that, I want to talk about Riverland Roofing, sponsor of the Talk of Champions podcast. All your roofing needs, text or call Riverland Roofing today, 662-644-4297, or you can check them out online, riverlandroofing.com. Let's get into it here. I'm not going to pull any punches. I thought Lane Kiffin called a very conservative and pedestrian game when it got late in the second half. First half, especially after that first drive, just really kind of clammed up, didn't really get aggressive. I thought that with all of the offensive line issues and Oklahoma having a really good defense and a really good pass rush, didn't really do a lot to help Jackson Dart. And that's not to excuse any of the miscues that Jackson Dart had. I still think he holds onto the football way too long. I don't know if people are telling him not to run, but you got to go and get some positive yards instead of taking sacks or, you know, throwing it at somebody's feet. But I think a lot of it is just hampering the potential of this offense. Look, Trey Harris was not playing. There's still a lot of weapons out there. Jordan Watkins had 4 catches for 59 yards. Caden Lee, 4 catches, 59. Juice Wells had 3 for 39. Probably should have had 4 for, I don't know, 50-plus and a touchdown. Dart had him wide open in the end zone, was trying to get it to him, got hit as he threw. I mean, you could see him visibly upset, visibly pissed off, because he had a wide open touchdown that would have put Ole Miss up 30-14 and just would have put it to bed. But yeah, just as an amateur observer, you know, I'm not a coach. I'm not a former player. Just me watching the game, it just feels like Lane Kiffin is just calling plays not to lose. I think it's just very, very, very hesitant. And it's not characteristic of how he's been his entire career, everywhere he's been. I mean, the dude tried to get Sebastian Janikowski to kick a 60-something yard field goal in the NFL. The first 3-4 years he was at Ole Miss, it was throwing play sheets and having fun, throwing the ball all over the place, getting creative, some exotic, you know, eye candy stuff to create some mismatches and to trick defenses. And I mean, I swear, if Ole Miss has a third and short, it is going to be inside zone. It is predictable as can be at this point. You get away with it today because Oklahoma just was putrid on offense after the first half. I would love to see the numbers for Jackson Arnold in the second half. They have to be just abhorrent, like just terrible. And that's good. I mean, Ole Miss put the clamps down on him. The pass rush really got after him second half. I thought Pete Golding and that staff, even before it got out of hand where it was a 2-score game, really pinned the ears back, came after him and challenged him. And that's what I thought Ole Miss was going to do the entire game. I mean, this is a guy that was benched. He's mobile, but he's not Michael Hawkins, who can really create and get around and do some things. I thought for sure that Ole Miss would just really, really turn up the heat and come after him. And didn't really do that until the second half. Maybe that's by design. Maybe Ole Miss was trying to feel out what Oklahoma was doing offensively and then make some adjustments. But I just can't get over the offense. And look, I'm really nitpicking here as Ole Miss gets the win. It's a 12-point win. Again, all that matters is you get a win in the SEC at this point. You try to continue to win out. You're 6-2, probably going to move up in the polls, but I want that killer instinct. I want to see that killer mentality from Lane Kiffin that he had his whole career and had the first 4 years he was in Oxford. Hasn't really had it. I mean, there were times last year in the Peach Bowl where Ole Miss were just eating Penn State up alive on defense and could have just packed it in and just, we'll win by 10. No, Ole Miss tried to put up 50 in Mercedes-Benz. Now, maybe that's different because it's a bowl game and whatever, but you can't turn it on and turn it off like that. You can't do it. And I think if Ole Miss is wanting to win out, if Ole Miss is wanting to get back in the conversation for the college football playoff, Lane Kiffin has got to find that. He has to find whatever it is that had him wanting to step on people's throats early in his career and when he was at Ole Miss in the very beginning, because we haven't seen it. I mean, I thought last year they called games very differently when it was very clear that the defense was really honed in and the offense really didn't have to do too much. I mean, you saw it Auburn, Arkansas, Mississippi State. I think you can't do that. You can't afford to ask your team to turn it on and turn it off. I think you have to just be all gas, stealing something from Sark here in Texas. All gas, no brakes, man. I mean, just cut the brakes. There's nothing at this point. You have to win out. style points don't matter, but I think just from a mentality standpoint, from just between the ears for your football team, you need to be out there just collecting scalps at this point. I think it's only going to help your football team. And I was left wanting more after that one. I thought that you could have easily scored 35, 36. It could have been, and look, it doesn't matter. Again, I'm belaboring the point here. Like, we're beating it up, but a win is all that matters. But I mean, just for the sake of building up some goodwill with your fan base, who was really soul searching over the bye week, I think at this point, the fans that know are going to applaud this and go back to the Grove, go back to the house, go to the bar, whatever, and are going to, you know, sigh of relief. But hey, got the win. That's really all you need. But I think moving forward, Arkansas got a big win, as we see it right here, 58-25 over Mississippi State. Just went to Starkville and just absolutely beat the brains out of Mississippi State. You're going to have a team that's going to be believing in Fayetteville, and that's a place where Ole Miss has not won since 2008. And I mean, you know, you got to go win. You have to win that football game, or you're done. Or you're playing for, you know, the ReliaQuest Bowl or whatever. That's not what this team was built for. That's not what this team was hyped for, myself included. I was talking to some people earlier. It wasn't just the local beat writers. It wasn't just, you know, all the homers that think Ole Miss is great every year. No, I mean, this was national media that were saying that Ole Miss was a 10-11 win team. So I don't know who stepped up in the locker room. I have to imagine it was Jackson Dart. I have to imagine it was probably J.J. Pegues, Jared Ivey, Pooh Paul, Trey Washington, those dudes in there in that locker room that were saying, hey, like, this is, you know, this is bullshit. Like, why are we playing like this? Better team than this. We expect to be better. We should be better. And that was a game that Ole Miss should have won. And they did. Better team, more talented, more to play for at this point. I mean, kudos to Oklahoma for coming out and fighting. I told some people before yesterday and this morning, hey, if Ole Miss comes out to a fast start, gets up 14-17, nothing, Oklahoma will lie down. There's nothing to play for if you're a Sooner. Human nature takes over at some point. I know dudes are competitors and they want to win. At some point, you're staring 4-4 in the face. And you just fired your OC. You're switching quarterbacks left and right. Your head coach is a marked man at this point. I don't know. Again, celebrate the win. Ole Miss gets it done. But very concerning moving forward. The offensive line, for the most part, held up, but there's still some glaring issues that were still showing. And without Trey Harris, it took Ole Miss a little bit to get going and to find some players. They found it in Caden Priest corner over the middle. Daquan Wright was good. But you need more from Jordan Watkins. You need more from Caden Lee. Juice Wells, you need way more from Juice Wells. I mean, this is a guy that people schemed their entire defense around 2 years ago when he was at South Carolina. I mean, a guy that completely torched Clemson, just obliterated a Tennessee secondary that was a college football playoff team and had, you know, a legitimate Heisman hopeful before he got hurt in Hendon Hooker. But Juice Wells has got to step up, man. At this point, it's put up or shut up. You got to win. You got to win out. Or, like I said, you're going to be playing in the Capital One Bowl and, you know, no one gives a shit. But I need to see more. It starts at the top. There's no doubt about it. This is Lane Kiffin's team. This is Lane Kiffin's program. It all starts and stops with him. The play calling. Look, you can blame Charlie Weiss all you want. Lane Kiffin deserves just as much blame. It's his offense. He ultimately controls what goes on and what goes down to that field, what's called. Look, I'm not standing there next to Lane Kiffin, but he has a headset on. He can talk to Jackson Dart now before the snap. He has control. So if you're going to gripe at Charlie Weiss Jr., you got to gripe at Lane Kiffin. Again, I saw there were glimpses of it. And this is dumb, but like maybe Lane Kiffin was like, all right, we're not going to show a lot. I think that's stupid. Why not? Who cares? You got to win. Show what you need to show to win. Ole Miss got it done. So maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth there, but you got to continue to be creative. You got to continue to be innovative and different and do what got you the Ole Miss job. Do what got you to 11 wins a year ago. Do what got you to get this roster, to build this roster with the NIL and the Grove Collective. Just have fun. We talked about it on the show this week. Ben Garrett and I had a whole conversation about it. Loosen up. Have some fun. I mean, hell, like, you know, Kiffin's sober now, so I guess he can't. And he can, but he's not going to. But, you know, have a drink or two. Like, relax. The important thing for Ole Miss fans, you got the win. 6-2. You keep pace with the rest of the college football playoff field. You need to pull for Vandy today. Some of the teams that you need to lose were on the bye. Iowa State, need them to catch an L. You need BYU to catch an L, which I think is coming. But just keep winning. Keep doing what you got to do. And, again, I'm sitting here griping about the offense. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's good to be griping when your quarterback goes 22 for 30 for 311 yards and a touchdown. Look, all criticism aside, I mean, Jackson Dart has been great this year. Over 2,300 yards now, 14 touchdowns, just three picks. I think he has really shown a lot this season, good and bad. But today, like, we're going to end on a positive here. I've been hammering Lane Kiffin. I've been hammering the play calling. I've been hammering the offense. We're going to end on a positive here. I need to go get someone to tally it up, or I can do it myself. Second half, Jackson Dart stepped up, made some big time throws. I mean, the throw on the third down, the wheel route, put some touch on it, got a first down, made some big throws over the middle to Caden Prescorm, and that big throw to Jordan Watkins that he was ruled short. That kind of stuff is what you need from your leader, from your third year starter, from your guy that was billed as a Heisman hopeful going into the season. That's what you need. And I think that was a great sign to see Jackson Dart step up. And because look, the body language, you could see it on people's faces in the first half. Talking to people that were on the sideline, it sucked. First half, I mean, just deer in headlights. Being able to come out and really kind of flex your muscle offensively, spread it around, and the defense just absolutely got after Oklahoma. Those are my two keys for this game. Jackson Dart stepping up to the plate, being a leader, leading this football team to a big win, getting those 16 points in the second half, shutting out Oklahoma. I mean, the defense and Jackson Dart collectively showed a lot. Defense got, I think, two consecutive three and outs to start the second half, and the offense went down, scored immediately. It was 16-14. You get the next one. You get to 23-14. And then unfortunate that, like I said, Dart misses Juice Wells wide open, which would have put it at 30-14. But, again, you got the win. Dart looked to be much more assertive and confident in the second half. And Pete Golding's defense just continues to put on a clinic in getting after the quarterback and stopping people behind the line of scrimmage. So, big dub, celebrate it. Get ready for Arkansas. It's going to be a hell of a game as Arkansas, like I said, wins big in Starkville. So, going back to Davis Reynolds, it's an 11 a.m. kick, which I think benefits Ole Miss. Don't want to play a night game in Fayetteville. Just a house of horrors, and it's just a weird place to play at night. That place gets pretty weird, pretty underrated home field advantage, in my opinion. Gets kind of loud, and those fans are believing now. So 6-2, back to 500 in the SEC. You're keeping pace with that top 12 to 15 teams. Just keep winning and see what happens. You know, you can only control what you can control at this point. So keep winning. So good on Jackson Dart, good on the defense, good for Ole Miss to get this win over Oklahoma in the only second all-time meeting. So pretty cool. Great crowd on TV. Sounded great. It got loud in the second half. Fans were great. So big win. Celebrate it. Also celebrate Riverland Roofing. Again, call them today. Any of your roofing needs, you can text them too. 662-644-4297. Or you can go check them out, riverlandroofing.com. So Ole Miss gets the dub 26-14 over Oklahoma. We will have continuing coverage of this game at olemissspirit.com, omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. Recruiting reactions Sunday, probably bleeding into Monday and Tuesday, as I will be reaching out to just about everybody that was on campus. So a big win for Ole Miss, a big win for the program. And look, you get a couple days to kind of catch your breath, exhale a little bit, and get ready for Arkansas. So appreciate everybody tuning in to Talk of Champions. Shout out to Ben for being an awesome dad, and look, giving him a Saturday off. He deserves it, right? But appreciate everybody tuning in. Appreciate everybody, whether you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, whatever. We appreciate your patronage. And we will be back later this week with more podcasts. So I'm Zach Berry. Appreciate you tuning in to Talk of Champions. Be safe out there this weekend. And if you're going to Fayetteville next weekend, be vigilant on the roads. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you on the next one.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money on your next project right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide alarms to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide alarms are perfect for your living spaces and doubles the detection and protection. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save